No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, talking about the non-roster invites for the Colorado Rockies. 23 of them went out, the invitations in the mail. I know for Chase Dollander after Chase, Chase Dollander, that he knew back in December. And it must have even been before the winter meetings, because at the winter meetings, Bill Schmidt did say Dollander is going to get an opportunity to win a spot in the starting rotation. So early December, Chase Dollander already knew that he was going to be on the big league side of camp down at Salt River Fields. And there's a lot of prospects that the Rockies have invited. 8 have big league experience and 15 have yet to make their debut. As far as the guys with big league experience, you got Diego Castillo, who I think could be a sneaky good option for the Rockies to roster on the opening day roster. I could see that happening. Tommy Doyle, who spent all of last season with Atlanta, is back into the fold. Keston Hera and Nick Martini from last week. Owen Miller, utility infielder, who you might recall him from Milwaukee the past few years. Catcher Austin Nola, who spent all of last season in AAA with Kansas City before a career with San Diego and Cleveland. Jack O'Loughlin, who made his debut last year with the Oakland Athletics, now just the Athletics. Jake Woodford, who was with Pittsburgh last year before that, St. Louis, and also was a player that when those rumors started to come out, or rather when it was announced by Ken Rosenthal that the Cardinals and Rockies had agreed to a trade in January of 2021 for Nolan Arenado, Jake Woodford was one of those names that was kicked around. So he finally comes into the fold. And then Jeffrey Yan, who pitched with the Cebu Lions last year in Japan. So he's got a lot of AAA experience. Despite the fact that he comes from another organization, he does not have any major league experience. He's the flashy guy that if he strikes you out, he's going to jump in the air, do a split. Maybe he can do a backflip. I don't know. But as exciting as the highlights have looked for him, I think there are a lot of questions with him being able to fill up the strike zone enough. You know, missing bats, I think, could be a concern to a degree. So he'll get an opportunity. I think he's going to have to prove himself down in AAA Albuquerque before he gets a shot. Sure, he's a wild card. And while on one hand you could say, man, if you can harness this lightning in a bottle, you could really have something. We know how conservative the Rockies can be. You also have to know that lightning in a bottle can't always be captured in a bottle. So the odds of someone like a Jeffrey Yan actually making the open day roster, I would put as somewhat of a long shot, but he's going to go out there and try to prove me wrong. Some of the other players that are the non-roster invites, you got Carson Palmquist, who, as I've mentioned previously, is a sneaky good candidate to make the club out of spring training as the team's long reliever. Speaking with some front office personnel, they want to get Palmquist, as well as some other guys, big league experience. They want to get these guys some opportunities. And as a long reliever is a great way to do that. They did it last year with Anthony Molina. They could do it again with someone like a Carson Palmquist. There are other pitchers you could look to and just, you know, point your finger and say, hey, why not this guy? There are reasons for that. Why not Gabriel Hughes? Well, he's just coming back from Tommy John surgery. That probably wouldn't be a good fit for someone like him. Why not someone like a Chase Dolander? Well, I think because you want to keep him as a starting pitcher and continue to build his momentum, I don't think he would really benefit from some mop-up innings late in games or even early in games if the starter gets knocked out in the third or fourth inning. I don't know that Chase Dolander, a guy with his upside, with his ceiling, you don't really see a lot of those guys just languishing, in a sense, as a long reliever. You wait for a spot, or rather you make a spot for a guy like that in your starting rotation. So that's what you want to do with Chase Dolander. So he can be great. You either going to put him in the rotation or you send him back down to AA or AAA to get a little more seasoning, and then you make a spot for him in the rotation. You don't stash him as your long reliever. Carson Palmquist, I could see that end up happening for someone like him. The four catchers that they've invited, Ronaldo Palma, Braxton Fulford, and Bryant Betancourt. Betancourt, this will be his first big league spring training. Fulford is definitely probably. Really? I'm a professional at this. And I'm using terms like definitely, probably. It's still spring training for me. It hasn't even started yet, actually. So I'm not mid-season form. Hopefully you'll give me a break on that. But Fulford is the best catching prospect of the non-roster invites. I'll put it like that. He's been a player that, since he was drafted, has been talked about very highly. Went to Arizona Fall League almost immediately to work with the pitching staff because of his abilities behind the plate. And while you could see someone like a Austin Nola and a veteran like Bud Black liking his veterans, I should say, does Nola have a shot at making the opening day roster? I think he does. I think he could. Again, that is one of those names where you have to listen. You have to listen to what's coming out of Scottsdale. If Nola's name is coming up a lot, that will tell you how the Rockies feel about Goodman and Romo's readiness. They like these guys. They like a lot of their guys. We know the Rockies have a bad reputation of liking their guys too much. But how much do you like their readiness? How much do you like giving this player an opportunity or opportunities to feature in the big league level and make mistakes on the major league level? The Rockies should not worry about making mistakes. They should not be worrying about losing 100 games. They should be worrying about getting their team better for the future. And you could lose 110 games, but if all of your best players and all of the playing time is going to young players that are on the fringe and that should be getting an opportunity to develop, I don't think that is a bad thing. I've said it before. You could win 10 more games than last year and be in no better of a position to be relevant and to be at 500 in 2026. Because if Marquez, Gomber, Jacob Stallings, Tyro Estrada, Kyle Farmer, if those guys do all the heavy lifting and they're not going to be back next year, well then, how are you going to feel that much better about the guys that are left behind who didn't contribute quite as much? Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but could you have a blend? Could you have a mix of something like that where the veteran guys are doing that heavy lifting? It could be. And I don't know that that's a great recipe for the future of the franchise. You have to let these young guys find their way. That's very critical. Two of the non-roster invites wrapped up their 2024 season at AAA. Palmquist, of course, and then Julio Carreras, who's now been to a handful of major league spring trainings. He was a former 40-man roster guy. Eight players finished their season up with AA Hartford. Zach Agnos, Chase Dolander, Fulford, Benny Montgomery, Palma, Ryan Ritter, Sean Sullivan, and Sterling Thompson, three of which were at the high A level, Bryan Betancourt, Kyle Karros, and Cole Carrig. Now, Karros and Carrig are two really interesting, exciting players. Those are the guys that is really going to get you hyped up. Now, Veen's going to be there. He's on the 40-man roster. Yankiel Fernandez. You'll see a lot more of those guys than you have in seasons past. I think you saw a lot of Veen last year. I think you'll see a lot more of Yankiel Fernandez this year to get you excited. But then those players that are on the outside looking in, at least for right now, now is not their time. But Karros and Cole Carrig, Jordan Beck made the jump from high A to the majors in months. He ended 2023 at high A, right? Or rather, he started his year at high A and eventually made it to the majors that next year. So I think Karros and Carrig, could they debut by the end of the year? It is possible. Might be long shots, especially since there's so many guys ahead of them on the depth chart that's more likely to get an opportunity. That could happen. But even still, those are some of the names that you're going to, if you're heading out to Salt River Fields, you're going to want to see those players. Keep an eye on them because they are very much going to be a part of the future. Montgomery, of course, you know, had a much better season in AA. He will be interesting to see as he is a player along with Palmquist that coming up this winter in November, they'll have to be added to the 40-man roster. And how the Rockies have operated, and they tend to do things in bunches, or rather they tend to do things systematically. But once you start seeing them doing something one way and they've done it a couple times, that's their system of doing things. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, because they started with Ryan Feltner, calling him up from AA, jumping over AAA immediately. That's what would happen with Dolander. He could go from AA to the majors without a stop in Albuquerque. So that is certainly a positive thing to see. And with that, adding guys that they need to add to the 40-man roster in the winter, adding them a little bit early to give them those big league opportunities. They did it with Drew Romo last year. I could see something like that happening with a Benny Montgomery. Carson Palmquist, I've already stated, I think has a good shot at breaking the opening day roster as the team's long reliever. Zach Agnos is another one of those interesting names that, because there's already so many relievers on the 40-man roster, I think it becomes really hard for someone like him to win a spot on the roster. He could be fantastic, but it's still just not enough because there's so many guys ahead of him. You also have to keep in mind, and I'll be saying this a lot during spring training, you have to take some of the spring training numbers with a grain of salt, because some of these guys are doing what they're doing at Major League spring training. You're paying Major League bucks to see guys for $35 at Salt River Fields, but are they playing against other big leaguers, or are they playing against other minor leaguers? And by the time you know you get to the seventh inning, it's really AAA players versus AAA players, a AA hitter versus a AA pitcher. And so if that's where Zach Agnos is going to be used and he has a perfect zero ERA, you have to take that with a grain of salt. You can get very excited about Zach Agnos because he has been one of those guys that they've been touting. And I think the guys over at Blake Street Banner did a good job of touting him really before anyone else. You can get excited about him. But if he doesn't make the opening day roster, despite great numbers, there's a reason why. It depends on who he was facing and the simple fact that there are so many other guys on the 40-man roster that Colorado and Bud Black can shuffle back and forth from Denver to Albuquerque without there being any consequence to that, because guys have options. But all of the non-roster guys, because they're not on the 40-man roster, if you want them on the active roster, somebody has to come off the 40-man. And it doesn't look like there might be any guys that are going on the 60-day IL where that creates a spot on the 40-man. It doesn't look like it. They're just going to be cutting anybody completely at random. They like their guys. We know that. So it becomes a lot harder to find a spot on that roster. And it's more likely to go to a veteran guy, a veteran like a Diego Castillo or maybe even a Jack O'Loughlin, than it would be a guy that doesn't have to be added to the 40-man just yet and could very well still make an impact on the 40-man roster later on in the season. Because if you run with a Diego Castillo and you say, okay, this is a guy that's going to be in my my bullpen on opening day, if things don't work out with him after 2 months, you can cut him and not feel bad and then add a Zach Agnos. But if you're adding a Zach Agnos right away on opening day, or another reliever like him that's a non-roster invite, someone's coming off the 40-man roster. And if he doesn't get the job done, who's behind him to take his spot? because at least in the reverse, you got Zach Agnos waiting in the wings. So it allows you to have a lot more depth if you go that more veteran route in the bullpen in this situation in this year.
I promised you some more audio from Rockies Fest 2025. So here it is. Bill Schmidt, followed by some Brenton Doyle and Ryan McMahon.
A lot of the guys you've brought back, you've put in the minor leagues to kind of work with those guys. But would Charlie be a little bit different because of his scouting background and interest there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it'll be, you know, from that. Like I said, he wants to do a few things. But we talked today about the importance of developing the relationships in the minor leagues with these guys as they come through.
What have your conversations with Charlie been like?
They've been good. I'd say we've had these conversations the last couple of years, but being involved on when it was not planned.
Not much of an application process.
No.
Are there conversations about being involved at the major league level?
We've talked about, you know, actually asking, do you want to be in uniform when we come to Atlanta? Type of thing, you know, things like that. He'll come to spring training for a week this year. Kind of bounce maybe between the major leagues and the minor leagues. But yeah. I think it's important to develop a relationship with the young kids down below. He has a lot to offer.
Bud said that recent days when the Dodgers do something else, he texts a friend and says, really? How are you supposed to compete with that?
I mean, it is what it is. Way back when, I worked for the Yankees.
Right.
George did things. So it's been part of the, like Bud said, it's part of the game. You just got to worry about your house, doing the best you can with what you have. You know, that's for some other people to talk about the competitive balance in the future of the game here.
Is it realistic to compete against that?
Sure.
From where you stand?
Yeah. I saw a great quote. It was about football. You still got to tackle and block every play, right, in every game. You still have to throw strikes with ball and play. The talent is a talent, but it's one game, right? Can we come out and beat them one night? And that's the mindset you have to have every night. So can we compete? Sure.
Can a baseball team in a 162-game stretch survive with an us-against-the-world or a David Slane Goliath mentality?
It's happened before. I said it today. You know, every year there's a surprise team type thing. We just have to be the best version of us that we can be.
Buddy said this feels a little different, what the Dodgers have been doing the last night or so. Do you feel that too?
Yeah, when you defer a lot of money and some things like that, yeah, that doesn't happen every time. But I think you can go back and look at history and things like this have happened, maybe not to the scale.
What are your expectations for this team this year, coming off all the young players that have played the last couple
of years? You know, health is going to be important. I'm anxious to get Marquez and Sotelo back. Hopefully we can get Chris on the field consistent. And over the last couple of years, have been really the focus has been trying to develop a foundation. So I'm excited for the young kids, and I think we're a lot closer to, if something, God forbid, something does happen, I think we do have some young kids that are ready to step up. That hasn't been the case in the last couple of years. So the Chase Dolanders, the Sean Sullivan, Carson Palmer, those kind of kids are on the mound, or they're closer to help us if we need it.
Matoma is knocked on the door of the All-Star game last year. What does he have to do to take another step this year?
Just continue to grow, tighten up the strike zone a little bit. I think he's growing. I mean, I said it earlier today, I'll say it again, MLB came out with their top 10 shortstops, and he's not one of the top 10 shortstops in the game. Same thing with Benton Doyle. How do you win two gold gloves, hit still 20-something, be a 20-20 guy, and you're not one of the top center fielders in the game? I think both of those kids are, you know, they still have room to grow and get better, especially at 23 years old. So, offensive maturity for him. Those two guys are good players.
Because, Bill, you've been talking about the young guys coming, and there are clearly some guys with Dolander, you draft Condon. Is it important this year you see results at this level in terms of wins and losses, or at least some tangible
I'm
proof?
Looking for growth, right? If you get an opportunity, you're looking for growth with the guys. I just feel like we're going to see some young players, and that's kind of who we are, is we're bringing these young kids up. Some are going to have success, some are going to fail, some need to go back, some are... which is a great opportunity for another young player.
Bill, a lot of teams have signed some notable free agents, big contracts and whatnot. And that communicates to their fan base that they want to win now. How would you describe your offseason to fans?
I think we're in a process of just trying to get better. I'm excited about Estrada. I'll match up our infield defense with anybody in the game. Latolia, Estrada, Tovar, McMahon. And then Doyle in the middle. I think we're real strong in the middle of the field. So for us, that's important. With our pitchers, the type of pitchers we have, they're going to put the ball in play. And we have to be able to catch it. So I'm excited about the guys we have.
Where do you see Kyle Farmer fitting in?
I think Kyle, and I've talked about this, and I've said it before, I see Kyle playing all over the field. Because in this place, I believe we have to rest some guys. So the idea is Kyle can give, necessarily can we use the DH spot to get Tovar a day to get off his feet, or Mack, or Estrada, you know, or he could even be Tolia, and kind of rotate these guys, Brent and Doyle, give him a day to the DH. So I see Kyle, not that he's going off the center, but playing through the infield.
What do you see? Who do you see platooning with Tolia first?
I don't see anybody playing.
He's just, okay.
I mean, he played every, when we brought him back in June, he played every
game. Platooning is the wrong word. Platooning is the wrong word. I'm sorry. Who do you see giving him a day off his feet? And you've answered that.
We'll see how the roster fills out and who's on the bench at that point. It could be Chris. Chris could come in the infield and play for a day if we need to give Mike a day. But I think Mike played every inning of every game that he came up. It was about 92 games, right, if I'm not mistaken, in there. So I think Mike's built to play every day.
How frustrated are you with how it's gone with Chris, or maybe more fair, how do you keep from being frustrated?
You know, it's health, right? That's something you can't control. If it was performance and he's struggling mechanically, then I think you get frustrated. Health, you know, no different than we lose some guys to arm injuries. Those are things you just can't control. I'll play out with buddies. I think there's... He still has the tools. We just got to find a way to keep him on the field to play, because I think he can still be a productive player for us.
Would you look at him as in the field, or is it just DH to start, or how do you?
You know, me and Buddy have thought. I could see him running out to the outfield for a day or two. We're going to need that to free up the DH spot to keep some guys rest. So hopefully, if it's 2 days, probably maybe more on the road than home,
right,
where we can run in the outfield. But if we can run in the outfield a day or two, It helps, and then maybe DH is the other 3 days for us.
With the signings at the minor league deals for Nick Martini and Keston Hara, do you see those guys as battling maybe for a spot on the opening day roster?
Yeah, they could. Yeah, we brought them in to compete. Keston was a former first round pick. He can hit, defensively. It's not the same level that his offense is. So, and Martini, he's had some success at the major league level, so we'll see what worst case, we'll have him in Albuquerque to help us out.
Buddy mentioned there might be a couple more signing, something else coming for the roster. Is there a depth piece you're looking for?
It'd be in the bullpen. I mean, there's still a lot of free agents out there. We talked about it yesterday. There's a lot of guys out there, and we'll see what happens here in the next, I think we're 19 days from pitcher, catcher, our first workout. So if there's a good thing to add, we're open to that.
When you're talking about that bullpen guys that are out there, are you looking at guys for the 40-man? Maybe somebody can come in?
We'll see. There's a lot of guys out there. We'll see what comes about.
With Dolander, what do you want to see from him? Spring training to indicate he's right on the
door. I think he's going to be about command. I mean, this stuff is the stuff. He's going to be about straight throwing command. How he handles the situations that he'll put him in and that he'll face in spring training.
You mentioned wanting to see growth from the young guys specifically. How do you measure growth overall for this team? Is it wins and losses? How do you?
It'll be about their experience and how they handle things that are thrown at them.
Did you get a feel for where Condon is in terms of his development, Bill, and where he might be able to start this year?
That hasn't been decided. We've had some internal talks. Thing with Charlie last year going out, he had bruised his thumb.
Right.
Kind of didn't tell us that he had bruised his thumb. So he kind of played through it, which I think affected the performance. He got, as somebody that got, we sent another kid out of the draft where he made a comment. He goes, my coach lied to me. He said, double, college division one is double A. And I'm in high A struggling. So This isn't the same level. So, and then to get thrown in, I use the merry-go-round scenario, right? All of a sudden you get thrown into the league and guys are throwing 100 and you haven't seen them in the slider. So there's some adjustments. But, Charlie's talented. I'm looking forward to his season. We'll see. Wherever we start him, hopefully that's not where he's finishing.
Gabriel Hughes coming back from Tommy John and pitching in Arizona Fall League. Where do you think he's at? Was that encouraging from the Fall League?
Yeah, very encouraging. And he was down in Arizona. We did a leadership camp this past week down there and saw him throw some bullpens. He looks good. He looks healthy. Just got to get back on the mound, going every 5 days, 5 or 6 days. So just get into the work and try to make up for some lost time there.
Still the expectation you could.
Oh, yeah, the stuff's still the stuff. Yeah, he's bounced back from the surgery. It's just a matter now of just getting the workload built back up.
Here's Brenton Doyle from Rockies Fest 2025.
Bud mentioned this team being closer to kind of having a more successful season. Do you feel like this team has grown a lot after going over some tough year?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, having a tough year, you can only build on it and kind of learn from your mistakes or whatever. But we have such a close-knit group of guys that really play for one another, and I think that's really going to benefit us. We might not be the team that's going to go out there and spend most money, but you know, we're really close to the clubhouse, and I think it's going to help us on the field.
Can you be galvanized by that? Like, okay, so maybe that you are in the division with the Dodgers, Giants, and D-backs, but you can shock the world?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like I mentioned, like, we really like to play for each other, and when it comes to baseball, a team sport like this, that's a huge advantage.
Getting back to the leadoff, I know you have a lot of experience with that at other levels, but are there people you look to as kind of a prototypical leadoff? You hit a lot of different boxes, some of them that, you know, Charlie Blackman hit here too, but you know, what do you see as kind of models and how you compare to those?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is speed, right? You know, you want a guy that's going to get on base and, you know, turn a walk into a stolen bag and get a guy in scoring position early, or a single into a double kind of thing, a guy that wants to take the extra bag. And if I can do that right off the bat and, you know, get some scoring done early, it's going to help us.
And anybody you look at as kind of leadoff models?
Not necessarily. I watched a lot of Trey Turner growing up, being a Nationals fan, so I watched a lot of him. He's really fun to watch on the base pass. And it's probably something I'm going to start doing, is trying to study up the leadoff spot a lot more.
Brenton, you went from making your debut and trying to, you know, catch up a lot in 2023, came on really strong in 2024, and now you're one of the few players that are coming here talking with the media. Has this progression and this elevation of your career felt natural for you, or does it feel like, you know, a lot happening at once?
It is a lot. I mean, I'm just really thankful that a lot of the hard work I put in the off seasons and during the seasons are paying off. And, you know, I love being able to be up here and talk to you guys. And, you know, it's really like a benefiting feeling, and I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
I mean, Patrick was just saying, you know, that you've progressed each year that you've played. What's the next step for next year? What are you working on to try to improve your game even more next season?
I think for me, it's a little bit more off the field kind of stuff. You know, growing up, I was kind of like lead by example kind of guy, and I think losing Charlie, a lot of the guys like myself need to be a little bit more vocal, especially kind of asserting leadership in the clubhouse kind of thing. That's kind of my goal. I'm just going to go out there and play as hard as I can, and everything else will work itself out.
When did you realize you could play center field the way you do here? Because it kind of ages players of dog years, this field, but it doesn't with you. And how much pride do you take on that and being one of the premier center fielders?
Yeah, I mean, I've always taken pride in my defense, even the minor leagues. I switched to center field, double A. I was mainly in right field, but, I mean, winning a gold glove your first season is pretty eye-opening. Like, you know, I'm doing, you know, really good out there, and, you know, I just want to keep building off the years and keep winning some gold gloves.
How do you stay healthy? Obviously, you know, as season went last year, you had to take care of your knee. Have you guys discussed maybe certain days off? How do you do it to make sure that you get through?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just have to kind of feel it out as you go. You know, a real important thing in this game is listening to your body. And, you know, there might be days here and there that, you know, especially during the dog days of the season, that you need that one day rest or whatever. But I'm just going to listen to my body as I go. And but the plan is to try to play 162 out of 162.
What are expectations in the clubhouse about how Tovar could take another lead this year and maybe on All-Star season?
Yeah, arguably one of the most underrated guys in the league. And I've played with Tovar since rookie ball, so I'm always in his corner. I think he's going to assert himself as one of the best shortstops to ever play.
What was that experience like getting to take some photographs of your Gold Glove Award fans here at Rockies Fest? And is that on loaner from you and your personal collection?
No, it's not a loaner, but I guess Rockies pulled some strings and got it from Rawlings, so I'm pretty sure they presented it to me here one of the first games of the season at home. But it's super cool. I was able to see it in New York when I got it, and to see it again, yeah, it's beautiful.
So, Brenton, Mike Petriello published an article a couple of weeks ago, and he said we're in a golden age of center fielders, and you were one of the people that he mentioned. Do you think you and your peers are in a golden age of center fielders?
Yeah, you're talking about, like, center fielders around the league? Yeah, there's a lot of special talent. Guys like Michael Harris and Jacob Young from the Nationals is super fun to watch. It's really fun to compete and watch against these guys, and I think we're kind of, you know, not pulling for each other, but at the same time, like, it's fun to kind of push one another and see who can claim a gold glove out there.
Winning three in a row is tough, obviously. You have another great season, but is that a goal?
I don't see why not, right? But like I mentioned earlier, like, I was just trying to go out there and give it my all and everything on sports is all about.
There are a lot of great center fielders out there, but there's been lists come out that you're not on. Two-time gold glover. Is that motivation?
I don't care for that stuff. I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. Just keep my head down and play my game.
Brenton, you mentioned losing Charlie. Is there anything specific that you learned from him that you will take forward?
Yeah, especially my big league, my first big league spring training. He was kind of a guy that took me under his wing a little bit and super thankful for it, and he taught me a lot of things, like what to expect whenever I get called up and stuff like that. So it's kind of just like a pass the torch thing, and I hope to do that for another younger guy coming up.
Was he particularly funny when he talked to you in that spring training? Did you hang out much off the field ahead of that?
Not necessarily. It kind of took me a while to kind of, you know, get Charlie out of his shell. And likewise with me, like, I couldn't know, like, is this a good time to try to joke around with him or whatnot? He's a pretty serious guy, but super cool that we'll still be seeing him around the clubhouse and everything.
Again, Charlie, him not being there. Who's the leader? This is a difficult game. Who's the leader when things go tough? And what's leadership mean to a baseball team?
Well, I think
how do you define that?
That's one of the biggest testaments for us this season, I think, is trying to, you know, get guys like me, Tovar, McMahon, really trying to come out of our shell and be more vocal with guys. And, I mean, it's huge, especially in a team sport, because, you know, a leader is a guy that everyone's going to try to go to, and he's going to be the one to pick everyone up, and it's super important.
Here's Ryan McMahon from Rockies Fest 2025.
Yeah, I think there's a reason to be optimistic. You know, we've had those young guys go through a couple tours of the league. Usually that third year, you take another big jump. Get Marquez back, Sensatella, that's going to be big. And we've got some guys waiting down in the bushes, man, that I think when they get here, it's not going to take long for them to make an impact.
With Charlie gone, do you expect yourself to take on a bigger leadership role?
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill, that's for sure. I'm not going to take it all on myself. We've got a lot of really good leaders on our team, so it's going to be a group effort for sure. But yeah, we're going to have to step up. Chuck was definitely the guy we looked to when shit hit the fan, you know, and he'll be missed.
Have you had any conversations with Tovar and Doyle about stepping up their leadership? Because they both said that they, you know, would like to maybe be a little bit more vocal.
Yeah, man, I think we're looking for them to do it. No specific conversations, but definitely things here and there. You know, a conversation might be a good idea, might be a good starting spot in spring. So we're going to be looking to those guys, man. It's easy to look to your best players and need your best guys walking the walk every day.
You've had some really good periods throughout the season. Hey, what's up, Dave? Yes, you've had some really good periods the last few seasons. Last couple has been rough at the end. Have you changed something in your off season, or what are you doing to make sure that this stays steady for one season?
Yeah, I've got a lot of changes coming. A lot of things that helped me get through the season, a couple new game plans, a couple new routines. Bill Schmidt gave me a word, and he just said finish.
What did you take from that second half? I mean, you make the All-Star team in a tough second half.
Yeah.
Has that been kind of a focus of your
game? Game will help me, man. Yeah. It's a hard game. It never quits. You can't take a day off. You've got to come and focus every single day. You know, I was definitely trying to do that. You know, but it's a beast, and, you know, every year I feel like I learn something new. So just trying to take what I've learned and apply it.
How does that talk to finish change your offseason and change your mentality heading into spring?
Just the day-to-day kind of approach, you know. It's easy to get caught up in these things, right? You know, hopefully we're making a run for playoffs, and, you know, I think that'll definitely help. You know, but it's on me. It's a choice every single day to wake up, and even if it doesn't work, come back the next day with the same mentality.
You is that a mentality that you feel like the team has right now, that they're going for the playoffs? That's.
I mean, I think you have to. Yeah. Man. If you're not, you're wasting your time, right?
And feeling hopeful and optimistic about that?
Definitely, man. I mean, I think we saw a lot of really good things towards the end of the season. We've seen good things from other players during other periods. The bullpen was really, I mean, it was something that I was really pleased with. I thought it was great towards the end of the year. And honestly, man, getting Marquez and sending the tailback is going to be awesome.
It's hard not to pay attention to what the Dodgers have done and loading up.
Yeah, you see it, man, but it's not my job to worry about that. Our job is to show up, play baseball every single day, and we're going to play them as tough as we can.
How often do you maybe talk to the guys about having been to a playoff game? Not very many guys here have some of your pitchers you have. How often do you talk to them about what that feels like?
It definitely gets brought up a good bit. It's a special feeling, right? And you kind of, once you've been there, you want to chase that feeling again. So it's something I'm looking forward to trying to do, hopefully doing, and I think a lot of these guys are itching to get that.
What does growth look like, Ryan, for this team?
Sorry,
what does growth look like for this team beyond wins and losses? And I ask because you play baseball almost with a football mentality. You're pretty intense, especially in your bats. So how do you kind of reconcile that with what growth looks like beyond the record?
You know, I think we're trending towards the end of that growth period, though.
Okay.
These guys have made strides. They've done it in the big leagues. Michael Toglia had a heck of a year. Obviously, Brent Doyle, Tovar, we talk about them a lot. And then a lot of the young guys in the bullpen, you know, they've made their growth, and we're hoping we're trending towards the end of that and just focusing on winning baseball games.
You said there are a couple of guys hiding in the bushes that were going to surprise some people. Who are those guys?
Just guys that I don't think their learning curve is going to take a long time when they get here. You guys have probably heard a lot about Chase Dolander. The kid's makeup's insane. I just went to a leadership camp. Hearing the words come out of his mouth, it feels genuine. It feels like he's about what he talks about. Carson Palmquist, I think, is somebody that could really sneak up on some guys, and we've got plenty of other players. I mean, you guys know the names.
You saw a guy named Nolan Jones have a great rookie year.
Yeah.
Come back and really struggle last year. What do you expect out of him, and what can guys learn from what he went through last year?
Yeah, I think he's learned a lot, man. You know, I don't think he ever took it for granted, but you get punched in the mouth, you got to punch back. Like, when you're feeling threatened, if you feel threatened still, you're not going to have success. You got to fight from a spot of strength.
I asked Buddy about what success looks like and how much is Chris Bryant a part of that. When you, I imagine, maybe you play general manager on the bus, like Charlie said, that some of the players do. I imagine. But do you pencil his name in the lineup and say, like, he's really got to come through with us if we are going to make this legitimate?
Yeah, no doubt, man. A healthy KB, I mean, listen, you guys have covered it. He's extremely frustrated with how it's gone, and I expect a lot more from him this year. I think he expects a lot from himself. But yeah, for us to be good, we need a healthy KB.
Having played against Estrada, what do you like having him on your roster?
Yeah, I love that guy, man. I used to mess with him all the time. He'd get to third base. I bet you're here again. Draw right back over here. A couple of times I told him, you ever want to come play in Colorado, just text me.
There you go.
Did he text you?
No. He did that one on his own.
You guys are fantastic. Appreciate you joining me at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, at Rockies Insider. Go to the YouTube channel, listen to the podcast, subscribe, leave a review. Even if you only watch this live, go to the podcast site, wherever you use, and leave a review. That can go such a long way. I'd be grateful if you were able to do something like that. And grateful that you joined me today and you gave me this momentum. But unfortunately, as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, talk to you then.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.